So friends, welcome back to discussion on trade and the chapter number 2. We have already discussed chapter number 1, and that is the general guidelines which are for the trade finance. Okay, basics of the trade finance we have seen. Now slowly we are moving interior to the trade finance. For that, small items like exchange control, we have to discuss little bit elaborately so as to understand the subject very clear. So in chapter 2, what is included in the chapter 2 is this exchange rates control, then transactions which are subject to control, which are the permitted currencies, which are convertible currencies, choice of the currencies in international transaction, exchange control to be observed by the authorized dealer, and the role of FedEye in exchange control, as well as the recently introduced one important regulatory aspect, that is legal entity identifier, LEI. Okay, so these are some of the topics which we are going to discuss in exchange control regulations, okay, in India. You know, exchange means change of currency, one currency with another currency. So purchase and sale of the foreign currency by the resident, or on purchase and sale of the local currency by non-resident, is called the exchange of currencies. So common foreign exchange controls are required to be observed. Which are those controls which we have to observe? That is very important, and that is required to be seen from the regulatory perspective. Okay, now first control is ban on use of foreign currency within the country. No one can use the foreign currency, that is dollar, pound, or maybe euro, for purchase of local commodities. Okay, number two, banning of the locals from possessing the foreign currency. Unnecessarily, you cannot hold the foreign currency with you. Third, restricting the currency exchange to the government approved exchangers. Okay, fourth, fix the exchange rate. Fifth, restriction on amount of currency that may be imported or exported in and out from the country. Exchange control regulations in India are governed by the Foreign Exchange Management Act 1999, which is popularly called as FEMA. Okay, the Apex Exchange Control Authority is Reserve Bank of India, and remember that FEMA is not only applicable to all parts of the India, but also applicable to the branches, offices, agencies which are located outside India by the Indian resident, which are owned and controlled by the person who are resident in India. In short, FEMA regulates all aspects of the foreign exchange and has a direct implication on external trade and payments. Now, this act, which is called as FEMA, Foreign Exchange Management Act, is a very important legislation which affects or impacts on the foreign national who are working in India and also Indians who are working outside India. So it is important to be compliant with the exchange control regulation. Now, when we always talk exchange control, whether to spend it or not, whether acquire it or not, always you are talking about the control, control and control. What is this exactly exchange control means? The exchange control defines, it is an official interface or official, not interface, interference, official interference in foreign exchange dealing of the country. Control may extend over the wide area covering the import and export of the goods and services, remittances from the country, inflow and outflow of the capital, rate of exchange, method of payment, maintenance of the balance of the foreign centers, acquisition and holding of the foreign securities, financial relationship between the resident and non-residents. The control is to be exercised by them also. So exchange control in short is, involves the rationing of the foreign exchange among the various competing demand for it and is effected through the control of receipts or of the payment or both receipt and payment in India. Objective of the exchange control, there are various objectives. First objective is protection of the balance of payment. When the balance of payment is in deficit of the nation, it becomes a large and it is a chronic and automatic correlation, which is automatic correction is not at all possible. So certain active measures has to be adopted to control the balance of payment, and exchange control is one of the measure. Second, reducing the burden of the foreign debt. Foreign debt. Now, exchange value of the currency is sometimes fixed and maintained at the higher level of, so as to lighten the burden on the foreign debt, which is contracted in terms of the foreign currencies. Third objective is raising the level of prices. Sometimes the currency is undervalued, and to help in raising the certain conditions through the desirable to the stabilize as an exchange rate at what can be called as an equilibrium level, that is the level which is determined by the market forces. Next is elimination of the short-term fluctuation in exchange rate. So exchange regulation in certain conditions are thought desirable to stabilize the exchange rates at what can be called as an equilibrium level, that is the level which is determined by the market forces. So market forces are very, very active here in exchange control. Okay. Now, another measure is prevention of export of capital. Export of capital, that means investment. When the country suffers from the exceptionally heavy outflow of the capital, which is caused by the loss of the confidence on the part of the nationals of the country, the foreigners in the economy of the country or its currency, certain exchange controls over the remittances from and to the country are very much essential or necessary. For which another aspect is economic planning. This planning involves very careful use of the foreign currency or foreign exchange, because the resources are very much costly. So only those goods are imported which are very, very essential for the implementation of the plans. Exchange controls are resorted to the regular exports and imports in the light of plans. Another objective is to encourage certain economic activities. How it will be, economic activities will be encouraged. One of the objectives, exchange regulation, is to encourage certain economic activities in the country. Certain industries can be developed by reducing the import of the commodities which is produced by the demand restricting availability of the foreign exchange to pay for them. Means on demand commodities will be produced and those will be imported. Those demand required to be reduced, and the domestic encouragement should be given to the local manufacturers. Another objective is administration. Exchange control policy is determined by the Ministry of Foreign Trade, Government of India, on the basis of the Foreign Exchange Management Act, while day-to-day administration is in the hands of Reserve Bank of India. Now, another objective for the control of exchange earning and spending. How to control the exchange earning and spending? For the purpose of the foreign exchange, every person, firm, or company or authority in India is earning the foreign exchange which is expressed in the currency other than that of the currency of the Nepal and Bhutan. Why other than the currency of Nepal and Bhutan? Because settlement with these two countries, Nepal and Bhutan, is always happening in terms of Indian rupees only. That is why always the exception is given to Nepal and Bhutan. By the exporters of the goods and the services, in other way, it requires to be surrendered the foreign exchange to the authorized dealer and obtain the payment in rupees within the stipulated period. So, whenever any foreign exchange is earned by the resident, it is required to be converted into Indian rupees immediately within the stipulated period. What is that stipulated period and all these things? That in subsequent chapter we are going to discuss that. Now, another is permissible foreign exchange can be drawn 60 days in advance. These are some of the regulations for control of exchange. Anybody wants the foreign exchange, he is permitted to draw that foreign exchange only 60 days, that is 2 months in advance only. Okay, in case if it is not possible to use that foreign currency within that 60 days period, it should be immediately surrendered to an authorized person. Now this person, whenever I mention person is nothing but it is an authorized dealer or a bank or the entity to whom Reserve Bank of India has given the license to undertake the foreign exchange transactions. It is called person as per the FEMA definition. Okay. Now, another objective to control, another control, measure of control is residents are free to, one is withdrawal of the foreign exchange, not beyond 60 days. So, 60 days prior to utilization of that, 60 days prior to that, he can draw the foreign currency from authorized person. Another thing, if he does not use it, immediately he has to surrender, give back to the authorized dealer or authorized person that drawn foreign currency. Next one, residents are free to retain the foreign exchange up to $2,000 only in the form of foreign currency notes. Foreign currency notes or traveler's checks for their future use or credit to their RFCD, that is resident foreign currency account, domestic. Okay, and foreign exchange for the travel abroad can be purchased from an authorized person against the rupee payment in cash only up to rupees 50,000. That means up to 50,000 you can give the cash to the authorized dealer, and against that you can obtain the foreign currency or traveler checks, whatever it may be required, but that is up to 50,000. Beyond 50,000 if you require, then you will have to give either cross check in favor of the bank, or demand draft, or banker's check, or pay order, or debit card, or credit card, or prepaid card. On return from the travel, the foreign currency, the person who is traveling, he is required to surrender the unspent foreign exchange held by him, or notes or traveler's checks, within 6 months' time, that is 180 days of the return. These are the strict regulations that has to be followed. Then they are free to retain, as earlier mentioned, up to $2,000 in the form of foreign currency notes or traveler's checks and use it for their subsequent trips. The resident can hold the foreign coins without any limit. Coins you can hold it, but notes, no. Within 6 months' time, after return from the travel, you have to surrender. Now, any resident individual is permitted to remit up to $250,000 or in equivalent in one financial year, which starts from April to March, under liberalized remittance scheme, as a gift to the person who is resident abroad, donation or charitable or educational, religious, cultural organization outside India. Anything beyond 250,000 required to be sent by the single person during the year defined period requires prior approval of Reserve Bank of India. Then, person who is a resident in India is free to make any payment to Indian rupees towards the meeting the expenses on account of boarding, lodging, and the services related to travel to and from and within India of a person who is a resident outside India, who is on visit to India, and who is his close relative. So, resident can spend on the non-resident relative when he comes to India for the purpose of travel. The spending of the foreign exchange is almost fully controlled except for few items listed in the free importability. If you come to know, if you understand this, then let us move to see what is the fixed exchange rate, that is exchange, how exchange rates are controlled and what are the types of exchange rates. First one is a fixed exchange rate. The system of fixed exchange rate is known as pegged exchange rates, peg. The government determines the exchange rate by pegging the operations, that is buying and selling of the foreign exchange at particular exchange rate only. Under gold standard, rate of exchange varied within the small range of the gold export point and gold import point, but the gold standard was given up by all the countries in 1930. Now, flexible exchange rate. Flexible exchange rate is nothing but the rates which are determined by the forces of the demand and supply of the foreign exchange markets. without the interference of the government, and the exchange rates are not rigidly fixed by allowing to float the changing conditions. Okay? Then, since 1980, as many countries were in favor of the flexible exchange rates, International Monetary Fund, that is IMF, was forced to adopt a flexible exchange rates. Next one is managed exchange rate system, which is managing the flexibility of the exchange rates. In this, the range of the flexibility, when I use the word flexibility, that is movement, flexibility around the fixed par value, which is determined by the country as per its economic need, which is prevailing trend in the international monetary system. This system of the exchange rate requires the country to interfere in the foreign exchange market from time to time in view of the emerging disequilibrium. RBI's intervention and exchange rate management. When RBI will intervene in the exchange, managing the exchange rates, okay? To minimize the disadvantage of the flexible exchange rates, most of the developing countries like India have adopted a concept of managed flexible exchange rate, that is MEFR. Under MEFR, what happens? The central bank intervenes to bring the stability to the exchange rate. Like the similar manner which was happened in 2 months back, when the dollar was very much appreciated and rupee was very much depreciated to around 83, 84 as against the dollar. That time, RBI intervenes to stabilize that rate, and that is why today you are seeing that rate is fixed approximately, or playing, exchange rate is playing against the dollar is around 80 to 81, 82 like that. Okay? So, RBI's intervention involves purchase of the foreign currency from market or release of the foreign currency in the market to bring the stability in exchange rate. In our example just now quoted, RBI has released the foreign exchange in the market so as to give a tough fight to the dollar and maintain the rupee depreciation and to stop depreciating the rupee or devaluation or depreciation of the rupee. Now, after seeing that, the question comes into the mind. These are the measures taken by the Government of India through the Reserve Bank of India or Ministry of Commerce. Situation as a layman, definitely one will ask, what are those transactions which are subject to control? Then the question comes in the regulator's mind, why not define? Why not define which are the prohibited transactions, which requires approval, and which are freely permitted? So under the circumstances, under Section 5 of the Foreign Exchange Management Act, the control was exercised by the Reserve Bank of India, and that control is to be observed through the authorized dealer bank. For release of the foreign exchange to a person resident in India for various current account and capital account transactions, authorized dealer banks are to be guided by the rules, as I mentioned, in Section 5 of the Foreign Exchange Management Act, notified by the Government of India. And in terms of that Schedule 5 or Section 5, three schedules, all the type of transactions foreign exchange transactions are divided into particularly three groups. And these three rules have been developed for the withdrawals of the foreign exchange for certain category of the transaction. Okay. So there are three schedules under Section 5 of the Foreign Exchange Management Act. Schedule 1. When it's Schedule 1 you refer to under the Section 5 of the Foreign Exchange Management Act, you will find that whatever the transactions mentioned in the Schedule 1 are completely prohibited to undertake by any resident individual. So, completely prohibited transactions are covered under Schedule 1. Now, moving forward. Now, some of the transactions which are included in Schedule 2. Okay. And these Schedule 2 transactions, for undertaking this transaction, it requires Government of India, Ministry or Department of the Government of India as specified against that particular transaction, the specific permission is required. Without that permission, you cannot undertake any transaction. Now, in respect of transaction which are included in Schedule 3, prior approval of Reserve Bank of India provided the limit prescribed under the Schedule 3 for transaction is exceeding. So, specified limits are fixed for the transactions which are covered under Schedule 3. And anything beyond that, if you want to remit, it requires the permission from the Reserve Bank of India. Elaborately, we will see quickly what is Schedule 1 and what is content of it. What are the prohibited transactions? Prohibited transaction under Schedule 1 consists of remittance of lottery winning, remittance of income from racing, horse riding, or any other hobby. Okay, the remittance for purchase of the lottery tickets, which is banned or proscribed magazines, football pools and sweepstakes. Fourth one is a payment of commission on export made towards equity investment in the joint venture or wholly owned subsidiary abroad in Indian companies. Commission, I am referring to the commission, not investment. Okay, so these are the prohibited transactions as per Schedule 1. In addition to that, the payment of commission on export under rupee state credit, then payment related to the callback services of the telephone, then remittance for interest income of the funds held in the non-resident special rupee account, that is SNRR, SNRR, non-resident special rupee account. The scheme, okay, then here there is the purpose of remittance which is included in Schedule 3. Schedule 2, these are some of the items which are mentioned, okay, which requires a specific approval from the Government of India particular department. Please go through this. Against this, particular departments or ministries name is required. This is a part of Schedule 2. In Schedule 2, these are the permitted activities subject to it is approved by the government department or Government of India particular department. Okay. Now, coming down to understand Schedule 3. Schedule 3 is nothing but some of the facilities which are permitted under Foreign Exchange Management Act to the individuals. And beyond that, beyond the limits prescribed, beyond that, if you want to go, then Reserve Bank of India permission is, prior permission is required. Now, let us understand what are the facilities given for the individuals. One, individual can avail the foreign exchange facility for the following purposes within the limit of $250,000 only. Any additional remittances in excess of the said amount or said limit, okay, for the following purposes shall require the approval, prior approval of Reserve Bank of India. These are the facilities. One is private visit, gift and donation, going abroad for employment, immigration, maintenance of the close relatives, travel for the business, or attending the conference on the specialized training, or meeting the expenses of the meeting of medical expenses, or checkup abroad for accompanying attendance to the patient, person who is attending the patient going abroad for the medical treatment and checkup, then expenses in connection with the medical treatment abroad, studies abroad, okay, then any other current account transactions are covered under this. Facilities for the person which consist of donations which is exceeding 1% of their foreign exchange earning during the previous 3 years or 5 million, whichever is less, for the purpose of creation of the chairs in reputed educational institution or contribution to the fund or contribution to the technical institutions or body association in the field of activity of the donor company. Commission per transaction to agent abroad for the sale of residential flat or the commercial plots in India which is exceeding 25,000 or 5% of inward remittance, whichever is more. Means if NRI is having the flat here, he want to sell it, but he appoint the agent abroad and that agent sold that and deal is concluded, then maximum up to $25,000 commission can be remitted out of the sale proceeds which are received, or 1% of whatever foreign exchange is earned, whichever is more. If it is more than 25,000 can be paid as an agency commission for sale of the flat to the agent. Facilities for the person other than individuals. All these facilities are covered under what? Liberalized remittance scheme. Under $250,000 or equivalent per person per year from April to March. Okay. So facilities to facilities to persons other than the individuals. Okay. Remittance exceeding 10 million per project, that is consultancy. Project consultancy, $10 million can be permitted per year per transaction. And that is for infrastructure project. Remember, that is for infrastructure project. Whereas for the other consultancy, maximum amount that can be remitted up to $1 million, up to $1 million for the consultancy services procured from outside abroad. Having understood the transactions which are covered under Schedule 1, Schedule 2 and Schedule 3, I hope it is clear to all of you. And now we are moving forward. Whenever we use the word permitted currency, what is permitted currency? Always we are using the currency. So permitted currency is nothing but it is a freely convertible currencies, or permitted currencies are those that of one can convert into another foreign currency without any restriction or intervention by the government of the original country. There are around list of 18 currencies which are freely convertible currencies. These freely convertible currency does not require intervention of any authority, government authority or reserve bank. After the permitted currency, the convertible currency, let us understand a little bit more. This currency can be converted into gold or any other currency freely, that is, without having obtained the prior permission or the monetary authorities or the regulator of the country. The convertibility of the currency is said to be an internal when such a conversion is permissible only to the resident in the country, and external when it is permitted to the non-resident as well. Currency is said to be a fully convertible when there is no restriction except the exchange rate for currency in terms of other currency on its conversion into a gold or any other currency, or in respect of the transaction in converting import and export of the goods and services. Remember, rupee convertibility is for the decades we were talking about the rupee, 100% rupee convertibility. Have we achieved the 100% rupee convertibility? No. We are up to the stage of 60 to 61% only the rupee is convertible. Rest other are capital account or any other account where you require the government authorities approval for that. Okay, thank you very much.